All right. Thank you for being here. My name is Josh Massey. I'm a PhD student at Oklahoma State, and my research is on nutrient management and nutrient dynamics within switchgrass for biofuel production. Switchgrass, as we know, is a perennial warm season native grass. It grows well through many areas of the United States. Grows well in marginal areas and is identified as a source for cellulosic biofuel production. It's been studied some as a livestock forage, but in particular in this study, we're looking at it for biomass production for biofuels. Optimal fertilization requirements, especially with nitrogen, if we're looking at this to put it into production, fertilization is going to play a part of that. And the requirements vary widely throughout the U.S. A general nitrogen recommendation is 50 to 75 pounds of nitrogen per acre. But these optimal requirements, this hasn't been shown consistently in study literature. Responses, again, are wide-ranging from 0 kilograms of nitrogen applied to 168 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. That's been shown to show some yield response there. Our objectives in this study are looking at yield response of switchgrass to applied nitrogen rates. And then secondly, looking at translocation of nitrogen and other macronutrients within the plant throughout the life cycle of the plant. We have a study site in Stillwater that's an established switchgrass field. It's been there for 10 plus years. It looks to be broadcast planted with Canlow variety switchgrass. It's a lowland ecotype. This particular field has got a definite hard pan about a foot and a half below the surface, and that's led to some sort of a relatively poor rooting on this particular site. Our nitrogen treatments are in 30-pound increments, ranging from 0, our control plot, to 210 pounds nitrogen per acre. They're applied in a single application for treatments of less than 60 pounds an acre, and then we split applied in treatments that were greater than 90 pounds an acre. Phosphorus and potassium are just applied as a blanket according to soil test recommendations. Our yield response, we've not seen very good yield response to these treatments at all. Our first year in 2008, we did have an increase from about 3 tons an acre to almost 6 tons an acre, but that was not statistically significant. But using some contrast statements, there's a definite positive linear trend there. 2009, you can see the data is a little more scattered, and that there's really not much of a response at all, although we do have a higher yields overall for that year. again, there is a lot of field variability through the site. I think that contributes some to our lack of yield response. And again, in 2009, the yields were more variable, but again, somewhat higher than in the 2008 study. When we move on to looking at nutrient dynamics throughout the plant, in the first year, we used 120-pound plots, and we would harvest a whole plant sample about every 45 days. And we looked at above-ground and below-ground nitrogen and other macronutrients within that sample. And then in the second year, we used 90-pound plots because in the first year, we didn't get regrowth in some of these plots, especially about the third harvest, about July. We did not get regrowth coming back from those plots. As we look at it, there's a definite trend here with the above ground plots. Above ground nitrogen's decreasing throughout the season. And then with the below ground, there's an increase there. So that nitrogen is just moving down into the roots as the season goes on. That's evident here in both 2008 and 2009. With phosphorus, there's a similar trend. Again, above ground phosphorus decreasing through as the season goes on, and below ground phosphorus increasing in both years there, 2008 and 2009. Similarly with calcium, the same type of trend is being seen here. And also with potassium, potassium is not coming up as much in the roots, but there is definite trend happening in the above ground portion with it decreasing with time. Again, as we're looking at this, we're trying to figure out why there's not nitrogen response there with the yield, okay? And as we're going through, we're trying to continue to look at these nutrient dynamics as partial reason for that, just to see that translocation throughout the year towards senescence. Trying to see where those nutrients are and how they assist in the regrowth for the following year. To further assess the study, we're moving to a greenhouse study to try to get a better handle on the below ground portion to better see movement, especially of nitrogen, to those roots and to see where we're at in the biomass production there. So this is how our greenhouse study is set up. We're hoping to use N15 and continue that work this spring. So I'd like to thank the Oklahoma Bioenergy Center, Soil, Water, and Forage Analytical Laboratory, Abdu Abdallah, Jabin Richards, and Dr. Han Zhang. And with that, I will take any questions.
Any questions?
Yes.
What were your units in the, when you were showing the decrease in nitrate content, what were your units for those
reps? It's a nitrogen percentage of dry matter. Yes. Not that I know of. Yes?
When you were calculating your overall yield, was that a summation of multiple harvests? Or was that just one harvest at the end of the year?
That's one harvest at the end of the year.
So you split the nitrogen, the high rates of nitrogen. What was the timing on those splits?
They were applied in late May and in early July. Yes.
You said there was a hard pan put down. Was it root restrictive? And if it was or wasn't, how do you think that would have changed your nutrient?
It seems to be root restrictive, and I would think that there would be some more uptake if those roots weren't so restricted.
Thank you.